All right, Masterclass, we have a doozy for you this evening. I've been working on this for a minute. We took a couple of weeks off just to try to make sure we could get this happen and make schedules work. But I have an amazing, amazing songwriter and singer and artist on the show tonight, Miss Gail George. Welcome to Masterclass.
Hello, Christopher. Thank you. I'm very happy to be here. Thank you.
Now, what these guys, they might not recognize your name. I know that some people are on the Uptown, well, a lot of people are on the Uptown Minneapolis music scene page. That's where I came to find you with the song called Over You. That is super cool, guys. Yeah. It's on iTunes for 99 cents. Go check it out. the song was basically two Prince fans sitting in a restaurant who they'd been friends with each other online for a minute. They finally meet up.
Yeah.
One tells the other one, hey, I can kind of write songs and I haven't really had a chance to really do much. And then here's Gail like, hey, I do stuff. So, and it ended up this amazing, like, funk ballad song just came to me with another person, Miss Patty Sullivan, who is like jack of all trades. She posted it on the Uptown page. And as soon as I heard the song, I was hooked.
She's amazing.
So kind of tell us how that song kind of came about, and then we'll go into a little bit of your background and what got you here today.
Well, Over You came, again, out of this union with Julie McNamara, both Prince fans, met each other on another podcast the year before where we were each asked to talk about our experience at the first celebration. We were the only two on this podcast. We didn't know each other prior. We reached out to each other afterwards and just kind of talked a little bit. We stayed friends. Fast forward this year, we finally met physically face to face in Breakfast at Perkins. And I was getting ready to leave. I think she had another day or two left in Minneapolis, but the heart to heart, she's mentioned that she had always kind of been passing or started talking about always wanting to be a songwriter, wanting to be a lyricist, and had wanted to do this for quite a while, had a lot of lyrics built up, but then went on this kind of pining of not being able to find anyone to collaborate with or feeling like she wasn't taken seriously. And I just recognized that tugging, that pulling, that kind of agony of not being heard when you have something to say. So I just said, send me something, just send me stuff. Let's see what happens. Just start sending me some lyrics. And so she sent me quite a bit, and I think it was a rainy Saturday morning. I had some music already set aside. I was just kind of fumbling around with this groove and music, and I pulled up this set of lyrics where it wasn't called Over You. I think she had titled it something different, but out of these lyrics, that's what kept coming back. And it's interestingly enough, when I got to doing just the melody of the chorus, I was pretty much just singing her words. It's even the cadence worked. It was even surprising me. And then I got excited. I was thinking, wow, this is really amazing how this is coming together. And I also was putting into play in things that I've learned about music. I wanted to create a groove or a music pattern that would stay, like the bass line pretty much stays the same through the whole song outside of the bridge, but most of the music stays exactly the same outside, like I said, just of the bridge. And I wanted everything to change in the chorus, where I would just change the energy, but the music would stay the same. So I had these little goals, and Julie's words really worked perfectly for what I was trying to challenge myself to. But by the end of the day, even like the vocals are just the first take. In fact, I go back and listen to them now, and at the time I thought, oh, I got to redo these. Oh, I got to redo these. These are just the scratch. I was just, you know, just trying to find my way, but I never did. Those are just the original vocals I put down when I was writing the song.
Very nice. And I know listening to it, it was really cool, because I didn't really know you guys until after I heard the song, but it just like it. Over You immediately says, okay, this is going to be a ballad. Somebody got hurt. They're built a little bit. They're trying to get over this person, obviously, with the title. And then it really wasn't it really wasn't that. Like the bass kicks in and pretty soon you're nodding your head and then you're kind of grooving to it. And so yeah. I'm going to have to make sure this song gets on the show somehow, because we're talking so much about it. Like people definitely
do.
Need to hear
please
it.
Please do. And, yeah.
So that's kind of where we started. So everybody has that backstory. Like how did you get into music, and like, what is your background and whatnot that got you up to where we're at now?
Well, I have always wanted to be a singer. I was, as a child up and through high school, I was in choirs. I just, a lot of choral music. I'm a child of the 70s and 60s and 70s. I was in bands in the 80s. In fact, I was in a band in 1983 where we sent our demo tape to Prince. Because we just thought for sure we were great and he would love us. And I guarantee you it never got near him, thank God. But bands in the late 80s, I was asked to be in a band to be a background vocalist and also to do the vocal arrangements. This was an incredible singer-songwriter. Her name was Corinne Vickery. She brought myself and another singer in and just kind of gave us carte blanche in vocal arrangements. And I had never done anything like that before, but it was exhilarating to just take a blank slate of someone's song and then build all these vocals around it. And so I sang with her for about 4 years, which led to session work. And then I became a session singer and a background vocalist. I did a lot of studio work. Kind of stepped out of doing anything for myself. I just was the hired gun, but it was great and I learned a lot and I have some wonderful experiences. By the late 90s, I stopped doing music altogether until a friend of mine in the early 2000s kind of was digging around saying, how come you don't do music anymore? And don't you write? And I'm like, yeah, but I'm not going to share any of that. Then I was thinking, oh, I'm too old. I'm washed up. It's too late. All these, negative things that you tell yourself when you don't feel worthy. And so she was pretty insistent that I find some music to record. And she brought me into the studio and produced a couple of songs. And of things I'd written, and that was the first time I'd ever done anything like that. And that in and itself was, oh boy, then I was in trouble because that was super exhilarating. And so I released my first solo album or EP, that was 2003, called Follow Your Bliss. And then I had these huge chunks of time where I don't do anything. And so I didn't record again for 11 years, but it's always there. It's 9 and 9 and 9. And I was writing all this time, but I wasn't recording. And I just one day reached out to a friend of mine, another friend, I have very talented friends, thankfully, and said, I want to make a record. Would you help me make a record? And we ended up doing this a record called The Barrio Sessions, which was in his apartment. He lived up in Spanish Harlem. So we just kind of had the working title of The Barrio Sessions. And from that, I wanted to understand how recording worked. And so I bought a brand new computer. Everything possibly I could understand about the recording process, because that felt like magic and mystery all at once, to sit with someone who's recording you and I don't understand what they're doing. It just felt like knowledge is power and I need to know how to do that. And so I spent another year or two just teaching myself and eventually recording a lot of Bloom, which was my last record all on my own, until I had to go into the studio and do certain things to complete it. But now it's like sometimes I just look at my laptop or my computer software as a blank slate. It's like I love the thought of having that turn into something. Like I don't even know where it'll start, with drums or a guitar. So the answer to that question, I've been doing this a long time. My first record was released, I actually have a 45, 1983. So I've been doing this a very, very long time in different facets, as a solo artist, in bands, as a background singer, just wherever I'm needed, so to speak.
Well, and being a woman in the industry, having spoke to Joanne Parker and then Raquel Rodriguez last week, mm-hmm. or a couple weeks ago, it's obviously not easy. It's different than it is for a guy. How has that journey been for you? And then also now, like, working on things like It's Personal and trying to get these records out to people to listen to, how is it harder, not only being a female, but also not being a 20-something,
exactly, you
know, running around? Like, what has your struggle been?
I think in a bizarre way, as I've gotten older in the last couple of years, well, I've been older, but I mean, in the last couple of years, I don't really care like I did when I was younger, where I felt as a woman doing music that once you hit a certain age, it just, unless you have a history, like if you are a Barbra Streisand or a Joni Mitchell, or you are someone that has this legacy sitting behind you or standing behind you that you can draw from 30, 40 years of music, unless you really have that, it's, I don't know. I think at this age, I do it frenetically. I mean, I do it frantically. I'm sorry. I do it frantically. I do it as if it's my last day on earth, and I don't know why, and I don't really care if anybody cares, and that's terrible, but I think I'm trying to, I've lost so much time over the course of my life during, for certain situations, whatever life hands you, you have to do whatever you have to do. And so I thought, well, at 20 years old, at 30 years old, I was not in the position to do music, but I don't want to disappoint her because it's all she ever wanted to do. And I think if today is my last day on earth, at least I can say I did it. Whether or not it goes anywhere or anybody cares, I can't control that. And it's such a personal thing that I do this, and I don't expect people to really understand sometimes, if not all the time. But it also is very freeing because I have nobody looking over my shoulder. There's nobody telling me that I need to do anything a certain way. I am fine with just doing whatever I feel, and that's incredibly gratifying.
That's good, because a lot of women have the horror stories of, you know, this promoter, this guy, or like, when talking to Raquel, she's a younger lady that's in the industry right now, and
she said that, being at
a board meeting, and you know, she asked her partner Sam, like, hey, did you notice, like, the whole time that guy was talking to me, he was talking to my chest, and you know, like I told her, like, I could go into that same meeting and the guy would talk to me eye to eye, he would shake my hand, you know, and it'd mm-hmm. be all good. But, you know, when you guys do stuff, you have to watch how you dress, you have to worry about, you know, and it's all about how the other person's going to react, which is for radio, I can say it on this station, it's bullshit that as a woman, you have to watch what you wear and you have to watch how you act, watch what you say, because of how somebody else, how somebody else might react to it. And you're just, guys that listen to the show, look, it's not a lady's responsibility to react or to be proactive against how we're going to react and what our maturity level is. It's ours to not create that environment for them. Sadly, the environment's created for you guys to watch everything that you do and walk on eggshells, because heaven forbid a guy see your shoulders or see you dressed in a way that makes you feel good. Now that's automatically transformed into something sexual, and now you owe that guy something. And it's just terrible that we live in that society. And especially now that, you know, you can, as a guy, you can get away with this stuff, and it just, I don't know. It's scary having daughters and having nieces, and
I'm sure it's scary having. It is scary having daughters. I mean, I have a daughter as well, and I mean, I am a woman, and I think at the time when I was young and probably could have, like, really put myself out there, I was just doing background work, and I felt like I could still do music, but maybe that was a defense mechanism, that by not having to put myself out front and cut in front of a band or be a solo artist at a time in my life where I would have been, viewed as whatever it needs to be viewed as a woman in music, I just thought, well, I'll just hide in the background and I can still have all this, I can still make all this music and be gratified, but not have to carry a show and not have to sit there and speak with someone that might view me as too sexy or not sexy enough.
Right.
Or too much of this and not enough of that. Well, and
like with Joy Ann, I'm speaking with her. She's our age. So she, has talked about, how, men want to perceive as her as this way, or they want to perceive her as that way. And she's like, look, I'm running my show. So if, y'all don't like how I dress or how I act, get bent, because this is mine and it's successful. I mean, she had the number one album, for several months. And so
good for her.
Proof that you don't need some guy's approval to be successful in the industry, and you don't need someone telling you what you can and can't do, which is awesome, because you want people to, and especially young women, to know, hey, you can do what you want to do, and you don't have to come out dressed like this or dressed like that. You don't have to come out singing about this or singing about that. Just sing your songs and say what you want to say, and you don't have to cater to what you think a guy wants to hear, because that guy is going to be the one buying the records or whatever. Do what you want to do.
Yeah, exactly. And I guess I've gotten to the point where I'm really honored, and I'm a little surprised that I am maybe getting some notice at this stage of the game, but it's not anything that I actually went out seeking. I just wanted to do it because I don't know how to stop doing it. And it's like you, where you, once I leave this mortal coil, I have left something, I hope, of worth. That's a legacy for my children, and something that I can be proud of, that I just did it. And I'm always surprised when someone does like something I do, because it does feel so personal, that it's like, oh, you just climbed inside my head. Oh, okay. So, but it's a double-edged sword with music, especially artists. I think, you want to put it out there because it's something that you love and you're excited and you're inspired. But then you hold on to it so tight because you're afraid of criticism, or you're afraid of, you think, oh, this is the greatest thing ever. Listen to this. And they're like, yeah, it's okay. And you're just crushed. So you don't ever put it out there. But I've learned as I've gotten older, I just put it out there. I just don't make a big noise about it, I guess. I'm just like, I just put it out there.
We've kind of hit on the word personal a lot, and I think it's cool and it's fitting because of the new EP that's getting ready to drop, and y'all are going to hear it here first. It's personal, and it really is personal. But it's about to drop, the title of the new EP, It's Personal. How does this differ from your other projects? And just on a side note, I think this needs a big push and this needs to be heard, because we listened to it in the studio and we loved every note. So,
oh my God, thank you. Well, when we talk about music and why we do music and why we love music, and you and me and anyone listening and anyone out there in the world, certain songs strike certain chords and they forever live with you. And they become part of your kind of muscle memory DNA, to where something you loved 20, 30 years ago, and it's wrapped up around a personal event in your life or a time in your life, and you hear it now, you're immediately transported back. And you feel it in your stomach and you feel it in your heart. And sometimes you have to sit down. For me, I like to sit down and take a deep breath because it's such a powerful emotion. And so when I thought about doing covers, because It's Personal is a covers record, and I've never done anything like this before, but before I was really writing as a young, some of these songs, a couple of them were when I was a very young girl, And so when I had a lot of optimism and my future was in front of me and I was going to do all these things, and so something about singing them again, it's kind of like I can do that even in a metaphysical way, if that makes sense. But it's only 5 songs. This is the first time I've ever done it, and there are a lot of steps involved in doing a covers, you know, putting covers out into the world. I want to make sure I do it correct. It's personal volume 1. I'll probably have like 10 volumes at some point because there's so many songs I want to do. But yeah, every one of these songs are very important to me. Yeah. And thank you for playing. You're going to debut them. Thank you.
It was my pleasure, because we knew we were going to do the interview tonight, and yeah. Then Saturday, I think it was, maybe Friday, my days kind of run together, but
yeah.
I got the message like, hey, would you be willing to debut my EP? And I'm like, yeah, like, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's cool to be able to have you guys on the show, but it's also awesome when you guys reach out like, hey, can you play this, or hey, you can debut this on your show, because then it's more for the listeners to listen to now. It's like, okay, cool. So who's Gail George? So we got a few songs here and there, but now we got this brand new album that we're going to hear first. So they can get a feel for you. And then hopefully they'll go back to Bandcamp and they'll download the other projects that are there. They'll go to iTunes and get Over You. And they'll really dig deep into the catalog, because it's good music. It's good stuff. It's not salacious. It's not trash. It's not auto-toned or auto-tuned and all of that. So grown people can listen to it, and you can listen to it around your kids, and you don't have to blush the whole time like, oh gosh, I hope they don't know what that means.
I only have one bad word on one song, so I tried not to have the parental advisory sticker, but I do have it on Bloom. But just one song, one bad word, everything else is fine. So yeah, well, I'm just really, you know, it's interesting, but I listen to everything that I have up and from 2003 forward. I have also done a couple of tribute records, and I have done, my biggest one is in 2013, I was asked to participate in an Elvis Costello tribute record. And that was a really thrilling experience. And I did the song Deep Dark Truthful Mirror. And it's put out by a small label in Texas called Spider Pop. But all the proceeds go to the Mr. Holland's Opus Foundation, which is all very near and dear to all our hearts, is where they provide musical instruments to underprivileged school children. And nice. For schools who have dropped their music programs or no longer can afford instruments for their music programs, Mr. Holland's Opus Foundation provides musical instruments for these schools. And so I was a part of that EP, or part of that 3-disc set. It was a massive 50 songs. But it was, you know, anytime I'm asked to do anything musically, I will do my best to be a part of that. So.
Very cool. And so once the EP officially drops, do you have any plans to like try to do some shows behind it, or are you going to go straight into volume 2, 3, 4 and 10?
Well, I have another originals, and I've got another record that I kind of put on hold when I got obsessed with doing the covers record. But, you know, I'm not big on live performance. I have terrible stage fright. So that was another thing about being a background singer, is I could be in the back of the stage and sing and do all that, but I didn't feel like people were looking at me. They were looking at whoever was center stage.
Right.
And I don't, it's one of those challenges I have been telling myself, like I chip away at all these things that I feel have been holding me back my whole life, and stage performance is one of those things. So I don't want to say no. I want that to be, I want to battle that demon. I don't want to be so afraid on stage and take these songs live. I would love to do that. I would love to do that. I'm saying that right now. I'd love to do that.
Well, it would be,
put it out there.
You know, Facebook Live also has that kind of, you can put it out there, but you don't have to worry about how many eyes are actually on you, because you just have the phone set up, and then it's recording while you're singing, so there's an option.
I've thought about that too. And people have said that, you know, you can just record it with the camera, and you just, and I'm like, I know, and that's true. That is my next internal battle, is dealing with being looked at. It's such a bizarre thing. I don't know what that is.
But you also do photography too, though, and
I do.
You have some amazing photos of yourself as well as the other people that you've shot. So it's kind of like,
I have to get creative,
right,
with my reflection. Yeah.
So on one hand, like, you can take these awesome pictures, even like of yourself and that. But then on the other hand, like, yeah, I don't want anybody to really look. But then you do that. So
I sound like a neurotic. I don't want anybody to look at me. Just listen.
But I think it would be cool, like the Facebook Live thing, because again, you don't have to worry about who's watching. You can even turn off the comments, so all that people can do is watch, and then, you know.
It's like, she's crazy.
It's like, hey, they like, look, I had 300 people watching. Cool, they liked me. But then it's, you're kind of bummed out, because you're like, I could have charged $10 a ticket, and then we could have,
oh, you my know. Goodness.
So.
Yeah, I probably am. I'm really, really bad at self-promotion. I have been told that many times. I work very hard at it. I'm not sure where that comes from. I'm always surprised when someone wants to see something or hear something, and I have to kind of scramble and go, oh, well, yeah, okay, well, you can go here, you can go there, and so it's this journey. I'm definitely on this journey as they come at the back end of life. It's interesting that I'm probably more confident now musically than I've ever been. I feel very strong about the music I write and the songs I write, when I don't know if I could have said that even 5 years ago. So I think it has to do with a lot of my own growth as a human being in the last couple of years. I've met in some incredible people through the Prince community, and it's been insanely beautiful, the support and love I've received that I've never received before in any capacity. Mm-hmm. So I read that you had watched Star Is Born, the Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper. And
amazing
I was
movie.
Really blown away. But I was somewhat cynical. I was like, yeah, I was blown away. It was such a beautiful film. But she talks about, in some interviews I was watching, where, you know, she's, even though she's incredibly confident, she's obviously a powerhouse and she's a superstar and a mega icon. She has incredible self-doubt, and as an actress, no one would take her seriously. And here was Bradley Cooper. She was going to be in a room with 100 people, 99 don't think you can do it, but one person can, and it makes all the difference in the world. And for her, it was Bradley Cooper who said, I think you can do this role, and she knocked it out of the ballpark. And so sometimes I feel that I've been really blessed in these last few years in ways I can't quite understand or comprehend, but with a lot of, like, those people in my life that are so supportive, and yeah, you can do this, and it doesn't matter how old you are, and it doesn't matter what anybody says, and if it makes you happy and you're making others happy, just keep doing it. And I haven't had that before. Interesting thing.
You know, if you can play the piano well enough, you can occasionally lift one hand up with the middle finger in the air to anybody who doesn't like it. So, you know.
Yeah. You're like, oh, excuse me. Always so many people, whereas when they're playing guitar and they use their middle finger to fret. the fret there to bar the chord, and I think, oh, that's a subliminal message right there.
Right. Yeah. I mean, if you don't like it, here's
yeah.
here's this for you.
Exactly. Exactly. And
so how can people, they're going to listen to the show, they're going to want to get the new EP when it's available. So when does that drop, and then how can they get your other music and keep up with you also on social media?
Social media, no, I don't have a specific Facebook page, like an artist page. I don't have that. I am on Facebook. It's just my silly little personal page. I have an Instagram page and Twitter, but again, I don't do much music on it. I know, I got to Bandcamp, you can go to buy, everything is kind of there, but I'm also on all the streaming services. I am on Spotify. All my music is on Spotify, Tidal, iTunes, Amazon. So whatever your personal preference is to listen or buy, I'm there, and that I made a point to make sure I was everywhere. Even YouTube, I started doing that. I hadn't done that before. I kind of pulled everything off of YouTube. I went through a phase of thinking they were not artist friendly, but I learned a little bit more, so I'm slowly putting it back up. But I don't have any actual videos. I have a video for Deep Dark Truthful Mirror, which is an animation video that I'm pretty proud of. But I think wherever your preference is to listen to music, you'll find me. There's more information on Bandcamp. That's where I can put all the information. You don't really get like bios or credits on the streaming services. But I have a Pandora radio station. You can go to Gail George Radio. The next thing too is I want vinyl made. I'm working on that. Maybe the next release I do, I'll get vinyl made. I really want to do that.
That would be very cool to have. It's personal volume one on side A, and it's personal volume two on side B.
I'm going to be obsessed with doing that.
If you need a promotional tool, if you're not good at self-promoting, I mean, I might know a guy.
Oh, do you know someone?
Maybe.
Oh, all right. All right, we'll talk.
So, and Masterclass, seriously, you guys have to check out. You know, I'm going to break new music. I'm going to break the legends. I'm going to bring them out. We're going to play everything. Gail, again, like she told you, she's not trying to go gold platinum and carry all the plaques home and whatnot. She's making good music because she can. And so we should support that as well, because again, she's not out charging you $1,000 a ticket for a show and, you know, trying to make you believe something that there's really not there to believe in, like some of the artists that are out today. This is good music. It's personal, really will strike a chord with you. Even if you're not a fan or didn't know you were a fan of the artist that she's covering, you're going to hear these songs. You're going to be like, okay, cool. Now, where was the original? And then you're going to go back and listen to the original.
Oh, that would be wonderful. And please go back and find the originals. Wow.
I will note that her cover of Joni Mitchell's Blue. Yeah. Yeah, you're gonna want to go back and listen to Joni Mitchell's whole Blue album.
Listen to Joni's,
and check it out. So,
heartbreaking.
Again, you heard at the beginning of the show, you heard two tracks off of the It's Personal record. You're gonna hear the final three when we're done here tonight, and we might even throw in Over You as a bonus cut.
Yay!
It might make the Real Music Radio show, or you might have to go to Mixcloud, because we do have the Mixcloud page where we throw some exclusives over there from time to time.
Oh,
but
we're gonna
have it. And, you know, guys, just check out Bandcamp. Go to Bandcamp or GailGeorge.bandcamp.com. You'll find everything there. You can also get Amazon, Spotify, iTunes, Tidal, like she said. Like, you have to try hard not to find her music. It's available everywhere.
Yeah, you can find me pretty much everywhere. Yeah.
And Gail, again, you know, thanks for coming on my show. Thanks for being like so personable. And if you guys follow her on Facebook, she'll talk and, you know, interact with you guys. And it's definitely been a pleasure for me. And I know we're going to talk about some stuff off the air too. But yeah, thanks for coming on the air and being a part of the show and letting me debut the new record. And, you know, I tell everybody when we close out that if there's anything else that you have in the pot brewing or anything else that you have to release and you want people to hear it, get it to me and I'll bring you back on the show. We'll talk about it. We'll get it played and we'll make sure people hear it.
You're good people, Christopher. Thank you so much.
I appreciate really. That. And Masterclass has definitely got a place for you 24/7. Now that you have my number, you can hit me up as well. This has definitely been a pleasure for me. Gail George, guys, go find the music, but don't do it till the show is over, because this is some good shit you're about to hear. So thanks again, Gail, and we will talk soon.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you, Christopher.